Y'all enjoy the singing tonight. I did. I wished I could sing.
I can't sing. I might make a dolphin horseback.
I'm thinking about.
Oh, goodness.
Thank you. Only thinking. Right. I would like for, not tonight, but maybe one service where me, Daddy, and Nancy, Madonna too, could sing. Where we could sing together as a quartet or what you want to call it. That don't make no difference to me, but. If y'all would, I appreciate it, and I would like to be able to sing the song in the hymnal is 436, I think.
In our read book?
Yeah, it's 436. And it's talking about that we must go out and get the people in.
Bring them in?
Yeah, bring them in. Let's go out and bring them in. And if y'all don't mind, you and y'all three, y'all can get together and y'all talk about it. But I would love to do it maybe one night during Jubilee.
Oh, no. Jubilee.
I think it would be good. I think we would hum it.
Whoever's gonna play. Hope she is.
I will.
Miss Hope is sing all the time. Her and Billy.
It is well.
Yeah, that's pretty song. It's better if you
got. No, I was just thinking about that. If y'all think we could do it.
Too much of.
Yeah, we gotta do church first.
Huh?
All right. I'll forget about it.
And then afterwards, after everybody else leaves.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
All right. Doing it with us first.
Okay.
Not from a Jubilee.
Okay.
I would get up singing in front of Jubilee like I did.
Oh, man. Let's see here. Chapter, I think. No, what do you mean? I had it a few minutes ago. What did I do? In 1 Corinthians. Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to be starting with verse 5. No, verse 6. Verse 6, and we're going down to 13. But in looking at these verses, it has a whole lot here in just these few verses that we can really thank the Lord for. But it says in here right here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, first of all, it says, charity never fails. No, never faileth. The love of God will never fail you. The love of God will never fail me. And the love of God will never fail anyone. It does not, it will not fail the sinner right here, because he loves them just as much as he does me. And he will save them and call them his servant, the same way he touched me, in the way, same way he saved my soul, and the same way he called me to be his servant. He is not a jealous God. He's not a God of this and that. He's a God of love, God of hope, God of everlasting, to each one of us. And it said right here, it said, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we know, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with, done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, or when I became a lady or woman, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three are the greatest of these is charity. The greatest thing that the Lord has for his people today is all of his love. He dishes out enough love that will carry us on through the day, through the night, and through the days to come. He will give us enough love for the individual that I spoke about this morning that hates us, despitefully use us. He will give us enough of his love that where we can look past that hatred. We can look past that despisement, that we can look past all of the other things that was in the past. Why? Because it's his love. We cannot have his love and go out here and speak to someone about him and about the love of God if we do not have our love in our heart for the individual that we're speaking to. We must love the individual that we are speaking to. And if we don't love them, then we don't have the love of God in our heart. Because that's what he is. He is all about love. And you can see that all the way from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the Old Testament, through the New Testament and everything. You can even see it right here on the cover of the Bible. Why? Because at first, what's he have up here? It's holy. This Bible, he's saying right here, this Bible right here is holy. The words in here is holy. These words right here is sacred. And we should not misuse it. But it says holy Bible. It is holy. It is holy, for he is holy. And for him to be holy, he looks down upon me. He looks upon you that are saved holy. He has made us holy. Why? Because of what's in this book. We do not deserve it. I do not deserve his love. I do not deserve his holiness. I do not deserve his righteousness. I don't deserve anything that he has, that he's ever given me. I don't deserve it. But I'm so thankful that he looks past all the fault within me. And he does. When he looks past that fault, he tells us some things. He tells us some things that where he will not fail us. And the first one is the Lord Jehovah, which is Lord God, the Father in heaven. He will never fail you. He will never fail me. Why? Because he is God. God is a God of no failure. He will not fail me. He will not fail you. He will not fail the sinner right here. That's out here walking up down the highway, and the ones that's out here drinking and cursing and calling him all the vulgar names that they're calling him today. Because he is love. He won't fail them, but they have to come to him. They have to recognize his love. How does he recognize his love? Only way that the people out here can recognize the love of God is through you and me. We can talk about it from now to doomsday, but if we don't live it and we don't express it, then they're not going to know anything about it. Because what they're going to say, they're going to say, oh, well, they call themselves a Christian. That's what a Christian is. The woods are full of them. The woods are full of them. The woods ain't full of them. They are few and far between today. Because majority of all the Christians, they've gone home. I doubt if I asked each one of you to name as many people that you know that were saved and that has passed on where they're at, and you say they're in heaven. You know that where they're at, they're there in heaven. Why? Because they lived a life before me. They lived a life before the people. And they was a Christian. They was here in the church. They was serving God. If I was to ask you to name off so many, with just 8 of us here tonight, 7 of us, 6 of us here tonight, excuse me, which is a 6 in name and all, it would probably be over 100, maybe 200, maybe 300 people that we as individuals know had personally known that they've gone on home because they done run that race. They done conquered what this world has to offer them. And they're there today in heaven. Now that's this little church. What about the other churches that are around that are saved? And all the people, individuals that have gone on before. I mean, hey, I could sit right here and I could start right here naming them, and I could probably name off 25 or maybe 30 people that I personally know that where they're at today, they're in heaven. They're with the Father. So, the world that we live in, it's not that many Christians, I'm afraid to say. I'm afraid to say. It's not that many Christians. Because where, why, how do we know that? Well, we can go back. Just say 20, 30 years ago. You have more people in the church. You have more people serving God. More people that was volunteering at the church, helping the people out and helping the pastor out and doing this and doing that. There was always, you could always count on them. that'd always be here to do something. They'd be here if there wasn't nothing to do except for go and grab up the trash from each other rooms and put them all in a bag and then take it to the dump. See, that right there is just as important to God as it is I am up here preaching. It's just as important. That's God. God don't look down on no one. If anything, God lifts people up. If anything, God is going to take the individual that has never done anything in the house of the Lord, and the Lord is going to be right there with them and going to touch them and lead them and guide and direct their life. That they want to do something here in the house of the Lord. Can you remember the time, and I ain't been saved all that many years. I ain't been saved for 38 years. But I can go back and I can remember the time after I was saved that the pastor would say, and he would tell me, he said, you know, individual got saved here the other week. I said, yes, sir. He says, they called me this week and they asked me, was there anything that I could do at the church? Anything that I could do for him, for me, to help him out? We don't have it no more. Not like we used to. The people back then, they would hear about a revival going on, or a camp meeting, or a jubilee, and you'd always see new faces come in. Why? Because Jehovah God, the God Almighty, He was in the midst of the people. He was right there. And the Holy Spirit, He will never fail us. The Holy Spirit has never failed me, but I failed the Holy Spirit a whole lot of times and not listening and not doing and not going in the direction that He wanted me to go. John chapter 14 and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. To the redeemed, to the one that's saved, the Comforter has come to your heart, has come to my heart. And He comforts us. He leads us. And my favorite verse is John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you. He will teach you. It don't say it will teach you. It says right here plainly. He, the Holy Spirit, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to teach me more about this book than I'll ever be able to learn on my own. Matter of fact, I can't even understand John 3:16 without the Holy Spirit. Because why? He would explain it to me. Every word is there in a verse. He will explain it to me, to where I can get the grasp of the text, and where it will touch my heart, and then I can be able to share it with other people, where it will touch them also. For who? That for who is none other than the Son of God, God the Father. To the redeemed, the Comforter will teach me and you. An individual can get in here and they can read the same verse. They can read the same John 3:16. And if you're not saved, they don't understand it. They won't understand it. If they don't have the Holy Spirit, if they're not saved. But if they're saved, then God will allow the greatest of all men to teach them what this word says. And we don't have to get in and study it out and everything. All we have to do is just read his word. Just read it. If we just read his word, then we know the Holy Spirit is going to give us what we must say to people. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I tell you, if it wasn't for him, I couldn't even stand here tonight. I couldn't stand here before you people tonight. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I would not have the energy to turn the pages in this Bible, much less speak the words. Only the Holy Spirit can open my heart in your heart to the understanding of the Word of God. See, right before I was saved, I had a corrupt heart. I had a wicked heart. Why did I say it was wicked? Because I was lost. It wasn't because I've done all these other things I hear, like take drugs and I hear robbing people and killing people. It wasn't all about that. But I was still lost. I was still denying Jesus Christ. I was still denying the Holy Spirit. That's the reason my heart was wicked. That's the reason my heart was corrupt. But if you've known any surgeon, have you ever known any hospital, have you ever known any doctor around in the world, from one's end to the other end of the earth, do you know of anybody that can go in
and do away with that stony heart, that corrupt heart, that defiled heart, and put a new heart in with love, caring, and hope for people? Can any other doctor do that? No. No one can. There's not the one. And he has gone back to heaven. He is not going to do it today. But I'll tell you one thing. He will do it the same way that he's always done it. He will not do it the way the people want it done. He will do it his way, and his way only. His way only. We have to come to him. We have to let people know that the only way to heaven is not through the TV tube. It's not through the TV preacher. It's not through the pastor. It's not through the deacon. Not through the other membership of the church. The only way you get to heaven is through the Word of God, the religion of Jesus. That's the only way you'll ever get to heaven. But we as people, we get so hard-headed sometimes. We think we know more than anyone else.
But really, when it comes right down to it, we don't know nothing. We don't know anything. Why? Because we're doing it thinking ourselves. And we're speaking from that stony heart that we once had. Yes. Yes, the Lord Jesus, He can remove that stony heart when you get saved. And He can place the heart of love. But if we don't watch it, we can take that heart of love that He's given us, and we can take that heart and turn it back into a stony heart and into a hateful heart. Yes, we can. How do we do that? By listening to everybody else. Accept the Holy Spirit. Accept the Trinity there in heaven. I know if I preach that in a whole lot of churches, I know I would never be back. I would never be invited back. Just like I tell people all the time. They ask me, I've had people that ask me, says, would you go to a Presbyterian church? Would you go to a Holiness church? Would you go to a Methodist church? Would you go to a Southern Baptist church? Would you go to a Catholic church and preach if they asked you to come and preach? I said, yeah, I sure would. I will never turn down an invitation. Jesus Christ didn't. Paul didn't. But I can just about bet you, if I was a betting man, and I could just about promise you, that they would never call me back. Why? Because they don't understand. They don't understand the Word of God. They don't have, I mean, you got some people that's in them churches. Yes, they understand, and they know what the Word of God says. Why? Because they met the one. They've met the author. They have sat down with the author. They've had conversations with the author of this book. And the author come back and spoke to the individual. Not on a terms that where we will go out here and maybe seek somebody out to where they maybe just wrote a book and they have it. They have a signing autograph and everything, and where they can sell a book. Yeah, I can go to that author. I can go to that table there, and I can say, I'd love to have your book. How much is it? I don't know anything at all about that author. Only thing I know about that author. It's what I've heard on the TVQ. Well, see, the author that I'm speaking about, the author that I'm speaking about is the author that spoke to Moses. The author that spoke to Abraham and Isaac. The same author, he spoke to Matthew. He spoke to Dr. Luke. The same author spoke to Mark. The same author spoke to John. The same author spoke to in Romans. He spoke to Paul there. And what did Paul do? He, you talking about face. He turned his face around. And he started walking right behind Jesus Christ. Why? Because he knew the author. Why? The author spoke to him. I want to ask you this. Has the author ever spoke to you? Does he speak to you today? The author that I'm speaking about, the author of this book. Have you had a personal encounter with the author? Have you? When you have a personal encounter with the author that penned down every word, give Paul 5 books of the Old Testament to write. Yes, the author that helped Paul write them 5 books. He knows every word that Paul penned down. And he knows what the meaning is behind every one of them words. It's nothing in this Bible that he does not know. It's not a word in him that some people and some preachers are calling a liar. There's lies in this book. No, they're wrong. And if I'm wrong, then I'll have to give an answer to God when I get there. But I don't think I'm wrong. See, because God does not. See, he's not a God of speaking lies. He is the God of truth. That's what he is. A God of truth. And that's what he wants for each one of us. He wants each one of us to have the truth that only he can give us. And the last one goes back to the verse we just read in verse 8. The first word, charity. Charity never fails. His compassion will never fail us. We can never say to anyone that God does not love us. If we do, shame on us. Shame on us. Because he always loves us in spite of ourselves. Compassion never fails. That's his compassion. And it reveals so much to us. And then the fourth promise is the promise that we are connected. That we are connected to eternity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are connected. There's nothing we can do about that. There's nothing that we can do. We can't be built up any higher than we are. Why? Because see, with his compassion toward mankind is that he's not going to love me that much more than he does you. We are on the same level as he is. We're on the same level together. Yes, some know the Lord as a personal Savior. Some don't know him, but they're still. We're still on the same level. But see, he wants their level to be fulfilled. And how does our level be fulfilled? How will it come about? Accepting the Lord Jesus.
promised them 30 days or 60 days, or I promised them a year within that time frame. If they ever come back to me and say, "Preacher, I got something I got to tell you in the church." They come forward. And if they ever say that that's the worst thing that they've ever done, if they need to confess it to the church, if that's the worst thing that they've ever done, is accept the Lord Jesus Christ, then I will personally come down from this platform right here, and I will go down to them, and I will apologize to them. But I've never known anybody to ever do it. Never do it. I've never known anybody to ever do it and mean it.
Why? Because they know that they got the best end of the deal. Best end of the deal. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we just pray, Father, for each one of these individuals this night. God, that you will go with them to those respective homes. Father, allow them to get the rest that they need. And Father, for the people that they come in contact with, either by phone or seeing out somewhere, we pray, Father, that if that individual needs the Lord, and if you see where that they have been struggling with it, Lord, we pray that you'll give the words to the people, that they may say it to the individual. And that them words will be so powerful in the way they come out, that it would draw them to Jesus. The way your word has been lifted up, and your word would draw them to you. That they can just beg of you to save their soul. And Father, go with us. Be with us again. Be with us the next appointed time. And Father, we're just going to thank you ahead of time in what you're going to do this week through thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.